You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast, episode 266. And listeners, I have got two very special guests for you for today's show. And we are going to be talking all about the development programs and the stars of the future and the pathway they will take to get to the top of the sport. So I will welcome back to the show. He was on a few episodes ago, Eric Dubander.
Hi there.
Eric, good to have you back. And we are going to be talking a little bit about your upcoming challenge against your fellow high performance coach, who I will welcome now. Welcome to the show, Leslie Law.
Hi there, for having us.
We're really looking forward to this. Leslie, just tell us, I mean, we had Eric on the show a few months ago, but just tell us a little bit about your role in terms of leading the development program, because I think I'm right in saying your official title is development and emerging coach for the USA. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And so, you know, we start with the emerging, which is typically athletes who are sort of around the 25 and under age. Those athletes in that program, they apply, they make an application. And then in January, we go around the country. This year we had we had four assessments from the applications. So we go around the country where we have athletes from different parts. And we have 2 days at each assessment where we get to watch them work on the flat the first day, do a dressage, and then we watch them jump the second day. And then from those assessments, we draw up a list from that for the athletes who are on that program. And so that's where that program is slightly different. Like I said, they apply for that, whereas in the development and in Eric's programs as well, we basically select people. There's no application in those programs. So we sort of select people to go on the programs from obviously watching them compete throughout the year and from their results and their potential. And so the development is not really governed by age, but it's typically athletes, I would say, sort of from up into the early 30s, quite honestly. So okay. we could some of the emerging athletes, although they qualify for that, they could easily, if they've proven themselves, they would be up in development. In the same way, they could easily be up in Eric's programs as well if they're proving themselves and, you know, they are looking that they're capable of being in those upper programs. So
how many people are in sort of the emerging program for the under 25s and then into the development program as well?
So in the emerging, we don't have to select a specific number, but it's usually around 12 to 15 athletes.
Okay.
And I think we have about 15 athletes in it this year. And development would be very similar. It's around 12 to 15 athletes, but we aren't governed by a set number, you know.
Okay.
It's really by the talent, quite honestly.
And Eric, how about in terms of the pre-elite and the elite squads that you work with? How many sort of numbers do you have and people that you work with throughout those squads?
Well, there's 13 riders that we work with in that space, and then there's a few riders that have a couple of horses there. So that's the number. And it's sort of like our goal is that right now we have quite a few riders that are on pre-elite and only a couple on the elite. And the goal is really to grow that elite group of people. And I think probably there's a few riders that are strongly heading that way, but with the lack of competition, they haven't been able to show form. So hopefully by the end of the year, we'll have a few more riders in the elite bracket there. And that's sort of the goal, is that that's what's going to happen. And hopefully with time as well, that there will be riders from Leslie's groups, training lists, that will come up into my space as well. So yeah, that's how we hope the progression is going to be over the next year or two.
It's very much a long-term plan, isn't it? And actually sort of the build-up to Tokyo and this year has really sort of made life a little bit challenging, as it has for everybody. And I think we mentioned it on the previous show, the Team Talk show, Eric, when we were talking about plans going into Tokyo. Leslie, I know that one of the things that you were looking to do this year was actually go into to work in yards and sort of work one-to-one with your riders and sort of development in that perspective. Obviously, that hasn't happened in quite the way it was perhaps planned at the start of the year with COVID. But am I right in saying that you've been doing a lot of virtual training with your riders as well?
Yes, that's right. Obviously, we were all ready to go guns blazing, and like everybody else, we got stopped in our tracks. So we started doing virtual training. And so with the athletes in my program, I was sort of sending out sort of exercises sort of once every 10 days. So, you know, like exercise that one week, we perhaps do some dressage exercises. And then the next week we would do a jumping exercise. And then they were able to video themselves and send that back to me. And then I would do like a talk over the video, saying what I thought was good, what I thought, where there's this possible improvement and how to perhaps improve it. So, and then send it back to them. So it worked really well. And, you know, I think it, you know, it was something that came about because of the situation, but I think going forward now, I think we will continue to use it, with it, you know, with the US being such a large country, it's difficult to get around to everybody. So, you know, this is certainly proving a way to stay in a more constant communication. And some of the athletes have really taken it on, like yesterday, I received videos. We're not sending out particular exercises for them at the moment, but just yesterday this week I've received videos from four of the athletes. You know, one said, I'm having a bit of difficulty with the flying change. And then three others sent me videos of them doing a jumping session and, you know, what you think. So, you know, what started by, you know, something being put upon us, I think is turning into a positive going forward otherwise. And then recently, obviously, I have been able to get out and about. And so that's been really good. I've, you know, just last week I spent some days in the, with Ariel Grold in the Carolinas and Sydney Elliott, and then I went on up to Virginia and saw Maya Black and Wood and Mia Farley and Woods Fulton, and then went on up to Pennsylvania and saw all the athletes up in that area as well. So we're getting out and about a lot more now and moving into that space that we had originally planned to do. So I think actually the combination of the two is looking has turned into a real positive, quite honestly, hopefully.
Looking good for the future. Am I right in thinking it's the Echo Ratings On Form training app that you've been using?
Yeah, where we do the voiceover. That's correct, yeah. Yeah.
There we go. I knew I was going to get an Echo Ratings plug in there for you listeners. obviously, you touched upon it. The sort of the massive size of the States presents a challenge anyway, let alone at a time like this. So am I right in thinking that, Eric, you've been kind of working together because you've been out on the West Coast, so have been able to work with some of Leslie's riders that he hasn't been able to get to because of travel restrictions, etc.?
Yeah, no, it is the cool thing with working with Leslie is there's a real, feels like a real natural flow. Like I can pick up the slack, and when I've been over on the West Coast, and I've been able to touch base with the riders over there. So I think it's a system we're just continuously working with, because I think at times I'm going to need to be offloaded as well. I've just been sitting with Jenny Autry, and we've sort of basically put out the whole, worked on the whole campaign plan up until 2024 Paris Olympics, and we're going to continue all the way to 2028 now. But there is definitely times when there's going to be times where I'm going to have to lean on Leslie to help out in my space as well. So I think it's something that functions well, and the rider seems to cope with that in a good way. They seem happy with sometimes having to work with me instead of Leslie. So I think that's something that's a strength within what we do.
It's a real team effort and a real long-term plan over the next sort of eight or so years, as you say, leading up to LA 2028. Can I ask you both about the Adequan USCF Futures Team Challenge? Because I know that's a huge part of sort of helping to develop the riders that you've got, that you work with. The East Coast competition, of which is starting at this next weekend at Unionville. Tell us a bit about that, Leslie, and sort of what the aim is of giving riders a sort of a team experience and the sort of the tools with which for future championships.
Yeah, well, as we've already mentioned, with, you know, the US is a large country, but also, you know, the European countries and some of the other countries that are based in Europe, they obviously, they can use the Nations Cup to sort of try riders out on teams and test the younger riders out in that team situation. And here, unless we keep sending teams over to Europe for the Nations Cup, which is obviously a large part of our budget, our riders have little exposure to that team situation. So, you know, with Eric and I talking, we sort of came up with this idea that, you know, let's do this teams thing here, where he has a team, I have a team, and start giving our riders, our lesser experienced riders, this experience of teams, which I think is so valuable, because, you know, when you're put in a team situation, it's very different to just being your own individual person. And some riders absolutely excel with it and thrive on it, and other riders find it difficult, and they need the experience of it to really develop. So I suppose for us it's an effective, cost-effective way of giving our riders that sort of experience. So I mean, that is really the main idea about it. So, you know, and with the actual competition itself, what we're doing is taking the riders in a couple of days early and sort of working as if we were in a world championships, where we do a couple of days training beforehand and talk strategy and discuss all the things that are, you know, that could or might not happen in a team situation. Last year was our first year doing it, and we got, you know, we got very good feedback from the athletes. And I think we were really going to sort of expand on it this year a little bit, but we're probably going to obviously have to wait till next year to do that now. So yes, we've got the first one next week, and yeah, hopefully I can beat him this time.
I was going to say, so it is, because actually from the riders' perspective, there's two teams that you've picked. We'll go through those in a second. But it is just friendly competition and it's all about gaining the experience. Now, between you two, on the other hand, you obviously work together very closely. I'm presuming there's a little bit of rivalry here as to whose team can come out on top.
There's more than a little bit.
well.
Well, in that case, Eric, how confident are you feeling with your team going in to next week?
Well, I've had a stellar sort of past here with winning twice in a row. So I'm sort of obviously feeling pretty good about a few things here. Well, the reality is, like, we are very competitive, both Leslie and I, with this. And there's a fair bit of banter between us. But I certainly hope it sort of reflects into what we're doing as well when we're bringing these teams together. It's not like a cozy number at all, and that's not the point of it. The point is that trying to run it as close to what we would do at a championship. And my first time I did it, I had a couple of riders who never had been or hadn't really been inside the time with their horses, and with a bit of pressure, two of them galloped around and performed at a higher level than normally possibly would have done if they were just there on their own. So I think it's an opportunity for the riders to feel what Leslie and I feel like when we go to any team competition, we want to win. And I hope that sort of feeds down to that. So I hope that Leslie and I really give that feel to the riders who are on these team events. That sense of it is important, and it's important to work well as a team, but also push ourselves to perform and as a group perform. And same thing is there will be some tactics, and there will be played out during the competition. So I think it's a real good learning place. But the other part of it for me, and it's happened multiple times, and it's also in my team for this coming week, is I get the opportunity to work with people who aren't on the training lists, and it's a way for other people to say, like, well, I'm actually good enough, and both Leslie and I get a couple of days to work with them, and then have them under a competition, and watching them how they perform and how they react and so on. And it's another gateway for a rider who's out there and believes in themselves that they should be on future teams. And so it's, the entries have been good of people putting the names forward. And like I said, in my group, there's several of them this time who I haven't really worked with before. So that's a challenge, and I'm really looking forward to it that way.
I think it's fascinating to kind of put riders in that team environment and give them an extra pressure, because as you say, some riders really rise to the occasion, and it's good to know when, you know, the chips are down and the pressure is on, that they are going to react in that way, so that obviously they can head into future championships in the years with those sort of tools in their toolbox, so to speak. In terms of other events, am I right in saying that there is one at Galway Downs at the end of October for the West Coast?
This is correct, and it will be the first time that we do one on the West Coast. And I mean, we did one up in Bromont as well last year, but having one on the West Coast is very important as well, so we're both looking forward to that.
We will be looking forward to seeing how it plays out before the end of the weekend. Leslie, Eric's, I think, quietly confident. How are you feeling about working with the riders in your squad? I know there's actually a couple of names in your team. I'll just give you the two teams. So Eric's team is Daniel Clasing and MW Gangsters Game, Andrew McConnon and Ferry's Cello, Meg Pellegrini, RF Eloquence, Caitlin Silliman and Ali KGO. And Leslie's team is Felicia Barr and Galloway Sunrise, Woods Bothman and Celavi, who had a very good result at Great Meadow, I want to say. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
He's in very good form. Mayor Black, Mixmaster C, Rob Burke's favourite horse, the one he always puts up as one to watch on the show. And Ariel Grold, Liam Moore Masterplan, who is a horse that I have to admit is very much on my radar. I saw him at Burley last year and looked super impressive. So they're the teams. Leslie, how are you feeling about the riders that you're working with and their chances this weekend?
Well, they're to be honest with you, they're a great group of riders. You know, as you just said, Ariel put up a great performance at Burley last year. She's a very cool rider, and that is a great horse. It'll be great to have Maya Black in that situation. She's a serious competitor. he is a young horse stepping up to that. He had a good run at Great Meadows, but the horse is just 8 years old. But as a partnership, they look a real pair for the future if we're looking 4 years down the road, quite honestly. Woods, obviously, as you just mentioned, had a very good run at Great Meadows, and so it'll be great now to put him in that sort of team situation, and the same for Felicia, really. So they look, you know, on paper they look a strong team. So I mean, you know, we would be confident for sure.
Well, Eric's 1-2, Leslie. It's going to be your time this time, I'm sure. We will watch this space. It is obviously going to give these riders a huge amount of experience for the future. Eric, Leslie, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about obviously the development programs and the progress within them all heading into 2021. It's been a difficult year, as we've keep mentioning, but they're is so much exciting work going on, and we'll look forward to following the progress again and catching up with you both, I'm sure, at some point later in the year.
Yeah, thank you, Nicole. I just need to say also, like, another step forward here with this program is that we got Etiquan on board. So it's now going to be Etiquan USCF Future Team Challenge. So we're very, very grateful for having such a good company on board with us.
It makes a massive difference having the support and everything in order to be able to drive the programs forward. So a huge shout out to them as well. Eric, Leslie, thank you both very, very much. Now, listeners, we recorded with Leslie and Eric and obviously talked all about the Futures Challenge for the upcoming weekend, and we thought, you know what, it would be really good to have one of the riders on as well to get their take on it. So we've added a sneaky little bonus to this episode for you, and I am delighted to welcome to the show Ariel Grild. Ariel, thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
And now, am I right in saying that you've actually previously ridden in a Futures Challenge? Was it last year in Carolina?
Yep, it was last spring at Carolina. I believe that was the first one. I think they did Carolina and Bromont last year. So it was really, really exciting to be a part of that. And I look forward to going to Unionville next week and doing it again.
And what's the experience like? Because obviously it is all about sort of building that team experience and sort of getting mileage under your belt for future championship performance. Tell us a bit about that from a rider's perspective, because I can imagine that is a little bit different to all of a sudden you're used to riding for yourself, you only have to look out for yourself, and then that team environment has a different dynamic, doesn't it?
Yes, it is different. It requires a different mentality from the riders, that you're thinking about the team as a whole, not so much the importance of your individual performance. I think in the U.S., you know, we're all quite spread out and, you know, we travel to a lot of events and you see a lot of the same people. But I think because of the geography and just the way that eventing culture is in the U.S., you know, we end up being a little bit separated. And so I think that, you know, Eric and Leslie did a lot of thinking on how to sort of bring people together and create a better team culture. And the Futures Team Challenge came out of that. So it was really helpful at Carolina last year to practice that team mentality. You know, we had team meetings every day and we came up with individual performance plans, you know, for sure as horse and rider, but that was within the greater sort of team structure of, you know, what we wanted to achieve. And it was good to just kind of have that support. We all watched each other. Starting to think as a group is really important. So I definitely learned from that. You know, we have a young rider program in the U.S., but it's a little bit dwindling, you know, and so I don't think we just don't get that many opportunities in the U.S. to do those team competitions and to at least start practicing at events. One day, hopefully, when we're on a, you know, senior championship team, it's not a foreign concept.
Absolutely. And actually, you had a winning start to your Futures Challenge career because you won in Carolina. You were Team Eric. How are you feeling about team chances going in to this weekend? Because obviously it is all very much about gaining experience and everything else, but you're all competitors, and I know that you'll all want to be sneaking ahead.
Well, I think Eric won both of them last year, so Leslie is definitely ready to come out guns blazing, and I'm excited to be on Leslie's team. We've because I'm on the developing rider list, which Leslie is sort of in charge of, he's made some extra time traveling around to help us individually at our home bases this year. So I think that has been really, really helpful. So I think he knows all of, you know, the horses on the team. I think all the riders on his team are on the developing list. And I think it'll add another layer of his coaching and advising to us to be able to really focus on helping us and helping our horses in a competition environment.
And tell us a little bit about Liam Moore Master Plan, because I have to admit, I fell a little bit in love with him. I saw him in Carolina last year, but also when he came over to Burley last autumn and had a top 10 finish. He is, in fact, the recently named USEA Horse of the Month for a great performance at Great Meadow, a fast performance at Great Meadow. Tell us a little bit about him, because he's exceptionally talented as well, isn't he?
I think so. I just adore him. He is just a very, very quirky character, and it's taken a while to sort of figure out how to keep his exuberance to a manageable level in all phases. I bought him, well, actually Annie Eldridge, my owner, we bought him as a five-year-old in Ireland, just green, hadn't really done a whole heck of a lot. And I brought him over, so I've sort of had him for his whole career, and I think we've just developed a really solid partnership. He's a bit cheeky, and he's by Master Imp, so he lives up to that. He's definitely a little tricky, but he's super smart and very, very genuine. So he just keeps getting better and better every year. I think he really liked doing 2 5 stars last year. That level finally kept him entertained, and he really had to focus. But he matured a lot last year, so. Even though we've been stuck at home during the quarantine, I've been able to give him some extra time on his flat work and give him sort of the things that he needs to hopefully build up to even better finishes in the future.
All of the best ones are a little bit quirky in their own way. And he is obviously unbelievably talented. He just needs the bigger things to keep him entertained. He needs the pressure. Annie Eldridge, you just mentioned her there. She's been a massive supporter of yours over the last few years. And it's brilliant that she's got a horse that's being part of the Adequan USCF Futures Team Challenge as well. And hopefully in years to come, future teams for the US as well.
Yes, that's the hope. That's what we're working towards. But Annie has just been great. I've been riding for her for about 8 years now, and we've slowly sort of, you know, we're always working on sort of developing a string, and just her support is just unimaginable. She's so generous. She's so kind. She comes to a lot of the horse shows. You know, she traveled to Europe to watch Simon and I last year, and it's just been a really fun journey for the two of us, and I think has gone beyond both of our expectations, but there's still a lot more to do.
Absolutely. And we will look forward to following that journey with you. Good luck this coming weekend. We will be cheering you on. And we will be looking forward to following your journey over the next couple of years as well. But a huge thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed it.
Listeners, it was just a little sneaky extra for you. It was brilliant to hear from Ariel, and look forward to the Adequan USCF Futures Team Challenge this weekend. Don't forget, you can download the podcast for free in all of the usual places. Do tag us when you listen as well at US Eventing, and we will be back very soon with another episode for you. Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.